Tommy Points, episode 8. The gang is all here. Let's go. We got Dante in the building. We got Riley in the building. We got myself in the building, and we have a lot to talk about. Yes, how are we doing, guys?
Good. No complaints. No complaints at all. How about you, Evan? I mean, I know you're kind of still riding that high off of getting a retweet from a certain Mr. Tatum.
You mean my best friend? My best friend?
My new best friend? Did we just put best friends?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you guys in the first couple minutes of Tommy Points, but I'm stopping this podcast, and I'm just going to go start one with Jason Tatum.
As any sane person would do, yeah.
You guys carry on. Me and my new best friend are gonna start a podcast together. But yeah, that happened. That was that kind of made my morning. Actually, Riley, you were the first one that like tipped me off to it because I went to sleep and then I saw a bunch of DMs, a bunch of taggings and notifications, but I saw your message first and I was like, what is he talking about?
So jealous.
Hey, at least it happened to one of us, right?
Hey, yeah. We're a squad here. But yeah, we got a lot to talk about on today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Podcorn. Now, we talked about them last week, but Riley, let me ask you this. Do you like money?
Actually, I love money.
You love money. Oh, Dante, you said you like money. Riley loves it.
I didn't say I loved it last week. Riley loves it.
So let me ask you this too. So you love money. Do you like or love podcasting as well?
Yes, I do.
So what if I told you that there was a platform out there that married the two? You're able to podcast and make money off of podcasting. I mean, that's pretty dope, right?
I'm listening.
Oh, I have his attention. So if you head over to podcorn.com, you can sign up right away, put your podcast on there. And what Podcorn does is it'll match you with businesses and potential sponsorship opportunities for you to get in contact with, to host read ads, do guest interviews, ratings, reviews for products, that type of thing. And they just match you right up, make it as simple as possible. And again, we said it before, you don't need a huge podcast or an amazing podcast like this one. You can go on one listener. You can have one listener and sign up on podcorn.com. And that one listener can be you too. And go see if there's potential sponsorships out there for you. And they're not even a middleman. I don't want to make that. They don't intervene too much. All they do is match your podcast with a company. And then you two get to talking. It's a pretty damn good deal.
That's cool.
Riley's logging off right now. He's like, I'm gonna start a new podcast and I'm heading over.
I gotta go, guys. I got something to do.
So head over to podcorn.com and remember, if you start a podcast and all of a sudden you're making millions of dollars off of this platform, remember who referred you over to Podcorn. It's podcorn.com. Remember the Tommy Points guys sent you.
Yes, sir. Love that.
So what should we start with? You guys want to talk about a little Kemba Walker here? Because last episode, Dante, you and I, we weren't like ragging on Kemba, but we were acknowledging that it didn't look as good as we thought. Now we had a few games since that Knicks game. We had the couple in Philly against the Cavs and then the Bulls game, but Kemba didn't play in that, so I guess we're leaving that off the table. What do we think of Kemba Walker now after seeing him back?
I mean, listen, when we talked about this, about his Knicks game, you know, what I was looking for was just seeing how he performed, not his stats. Like I wasn't expecting any stats to jump out or anything, just, you know, his movements, how he handled the ball, how he was driving the first step, like how he looked, like if his quickness is still there and stuff. And, you know, I was impressed overall with what I saw from him first game back. Obviously, his stats weren't anything great. He only had 9 points, shot the ball poorly. And, you know, one thing that we talked about was him and Jaylen Brown didn't really look too great together on the court. And, you know, that could just because it was their first game and whatnot. But, you know, since then, man, I mean, he's getting better every game. Just the way he looks, the way he's playing, and statistically, I mean, he's getting better every game. He had that 9-point game against New York. He had 19 twice against Philly, and he had 21 against Cleveland. He didn't play against Chicago because he was resting. But you know what? Like, all in all, no complaints. And, you know, it's night and day compared to what we saw against New York with how him and Jalen play. Like, it's obvious now that there's no issue between the two. It's obvious that whatever it was, they'll figure it out. They figured it out, and they look fantastic together. So I'm very impressed with what I've seen from Kemba so far.
Yeah, I feel like a huge concern was is he going to fit with Jaylen Brown, which we talked about, and I think you just cleared up there. Like, I think he does, but a huge concern has been, and I'm sure you guys have gotten the messages and whatnot too, like I have. It's like, well, how is there going to be enough shots to go around between the three of them with Jaylen and Jason stepping up? And my response is like a two-part response. One, it's not like this is their first year together. Like, mm-hmm. we've seen these three play together, and it can work. And then two, Kemba Walker has been like incredibly vocal and transparent with, I understand how good Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are. He's ready to fully accept his role. Is that something that you guys, you know, agree with or see or can trust?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure I've heard him say that he's, you know, ready to become the third option and, you know, let Tatum and Brown step up and do their thing. And, you know, the first game back, he was a little rusty. I think people overreacted, but you know, since then, you know, I think he scored, what, 19-19 and, like,
21.
Like, yeah. That's all we need from him. 20 points a game, if that, you know. I think he looked great.
He said, I think it was after the Knicks game, they asked him, and he said, like, you know, like, I don't want Jaylen Brown to stop what he's doing. Like, just because I'm back doesn't mean that he needs to take a step back or take his foot off the gas pedal. Like, he's like, I'm here to help him. Like, I want to help him get better every game. Like, I'm not here to, you know, take anything away from him. And, you know, we're talking about there's only one ball, like, there's only so many shots to go around. Kemba Walker, and I've said this on this podcast, I mean, we talked about it. If you think of a third guy to put next to Jalen, Jason, like a bona fide all-star, like he's an all-star. He might not be one this year, but he is an all-star. He's an all-star like player. You can't really think of many guys that you can put next to those two and have the same attitude and mentality that he does. Like, he genuinely just cares about winning. Like, statistically, I mean, he'll get his, but he doesn't care about that. He had his run in Charlotte where he had, you know, 25, 26 points a game. He doesn't care about that. He's all about winning. And, you know, he's just the perfect guy to have next to the Jays because he doesn't care about stats.
A guy like Kemba, like, to your point, that all-star caliber player and whatnot, he literally could come in here and want to be top dog and almost be validated. Like, you know, it's still super, super early in Tatum's career, super early in Brown's career, even with the numbers they're putting up. A guy like Kemba Walker could come in, and I'm sure a lot of people would still agree with, you know, oh, I'm going to be the top guy here. The fact that he's able to say, you know what? And he said that from, you know, not to get a little sidebar here, but he said that from the minute he got here, they're like, what are you going to bring to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as a veteran? He goes, me bring? Like, I'm going to be the one that's learning from them. They've been in more playoff games than me. That immediately said to me, like, this guy understands the vibe of the team, where this team's going. And it's I feel like I kind of just paired two and two together here with what he said recently. And then it's like the story hasn't changed. He's literally always been a team guy. And the fact that he still gets his without like going out of his way to get his, he is the perfect third guy here, which it's I still think that there's Kemba Walker haters out there because they don't believe in the knee.
There's always going to be Kemba Walker haters.
But but I think so far he's kind of gone off and like reminding this league like, hey, by the way, I can do whatever I want out here, but it's a team game.
Yeah. And, you know, Evan, we talked about it and last week, and this got revamped. A lot of people were telling me this. I was on Locker Room. I was doing a podcast, and I brought up Lonzo Ball again. Lonzo Ball saying he should be in place of Kemba. If you're going to trade Kemba, Lonzo Ball's he's a great point guard for the team. Listen.
I told you those people were real. Remember you were asking me?
No, like why? Like, listen, Lonzo Ball, like he's bigger. He's a better defender. I get that. But like, just put it on the table. You got to choose Kemba Walker or Lonzo Ball. If you tell me you're choosing Lonzo Ball, I'm going to think you're crazy. Like, it's just like you watch how they play. It's like, I don't care like what the stats say. Like, I don't care how many turnovers per assist ratio, like how bad of a defender Kemba might be. Kemba Walker is better than Lonzo Ball. And, you know, it's just like you can say the worst part of his game is defense, and I'm not going to argue with you there. I understand he's undersized. He's not the best defender in the world, but he's surrounded by three guys who are legit, like, above average, very good defenders. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. We had Isaiah Thomas 3-4 years ago, and we had Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley next to him, and they were one of the best defensive teams in the league. They can make this work. Just because Kemba Walker might be a liability on defense doesn't change the fact that he is going to make a huge difference for this team when he is 100% healthy, and that it seems like he is. So that's all I got to say about that. If you want Lonzo Ball over Kemba Walker, just don't even bother. Just bring that up around me. I don't want to hear it.
I feel like more people have said that Kemba Walker is a liability on defense than like Peyton Pritchard or even like Teague, which doesn't make sense to me. But
like, listen, like I said, like even if, you know, he's not as great as a defender as we'd want him to be, he's surrounded by guys that are more than capable of, you know, picking up the slack or bailing him out or helping him out. That's the key. It's like if we didn't, that's one thing, but there's nothing really to worry about when it comes to Kemba Walker on defense, in my opinion. I have no worries.
The thing is with me, it's like I would rather the small guy that like works, because Kemba does work on defense. When you say defense,
yeah, he's very active on defense, like steals and stuff, very active.
Exactly. So I'm okay with a guy that wants to do that, because that's the type of guy that fits into a team defense, which is kind of what you're talking about, Dante. Mm. And the Celtics are good at that. I'm much rather that than a guy that just would take plays off or anything like that. But I got to make it abundantly clear, there's only one stat you need to worry about when comparing Lonzo Ball to Kemba Walker, and the stat is pretty clear. Lonzo Ball stinks compared to Kemba Walker. That's my official stat.
His shooting stats like aren't that great. It's just like, think about it. And you have to look at it this way too.
He kind of stinks.
He kind of does. He's the worst Ball brother. I mean, LaMelo is better than him, and he's already like 15 games into his career.
And I'm still rooting for LiAngelo.
He's kind of a Walmart brand Marcus Smart.
Yeah. It's like we already have a better version of him already, Marcus Smart. But you think about it, like you bring in someone like Lonzo Ball, you're bringing the entire circus with you. You got his freaking dad, who's already chirping away at the Charlotte head coach because he's not starting LaMelo. And he's saying Lonzo Ball, like how he's not getting enough opportunity and stuff. Like, we don't need that in Boston. And it's just like another thing too, you lose Kemba Walker. Let's say you swap Kemba for Lonzo. What's going to happen when Jalen and Jason just, you know, they're not having a great night? You're going to ask Lonzo Ball to be the guy to step it up and score for us. The drop off on offense would be like, I don't even think there's a word in the dictionary to describe how bad it would be. Like, seriously. So it's complete waste of time to even entertain the thought.
You opened up a can of worms with the Lonzo Ball. I told you those people were real. There is real Celtics fans that want Lonzo Ball to Boston for Kemba. It's real.
I put out like a yes or no thing on Twitter for people to vote, and there was 15% of people that did say Lonzo Ball. Yeah, it was like 85-50. Like that's an overwhelming like more no than yes. But even people are just like, are there really 15% of people that want Lonzo Ball in the Celtics? And I was like, I hate to say it, but I think there are.
You know what's interesting is that so before Kemba came back, I did the poll and it was 33%. So now since Kemba has played and looked good, judging that maybe there's a crossover of some of the people voting, all of a sudden there is sort of the people that are kind of heading for the hills. Like, oh, maybe I don't really want to do that.
We've talked about this, Evan. Recency bias is a huge thing for Boston fans. Like, you see one bad game from someone, like the Knicks game, everyone was like, the season's over. Yeah. Trade Kemba, get rid of everyone, trade Marcus. And it's just like one game, one loss. It's ridiculous, but the bottom line is Kemba Walker looks really good, guys, and he is not going anywhere.
So good.
That's all you got to say.
All right, you said recency bias. I don't know if this is a good transition or not, but we saw Aaron Nesmith look pretty damn good. Now, again, with that recency bias in mind, that's two games in a row that he's played well, but I don't know if that is good enough to just forget that he just like kind of stunk in the beginning of the year. You know what I mean? So where do you guys now make out on Nesmith? Is the performance from, you know, the Bulls game, the Cavs game, are those enough to say this kid is starting to turn the right page, or is it more of like a, you know, lightning in a bottle, it's going to be gone tomorrow type of thing? What do you think?
What do you think, Riley?
I think it's too early to tell. I think, I don't know the exact stat, but I think that was his third, maybe fourth game where he's played more than 10 minutes. So I think he needs more opportunities. You know, the small amount of opportunities he's had, he hasn't taken advantage of. But, you know, obviously recently he has. So I think Brad should continue to keep giving him more opportunities, and hopefully he'll continue to shoot lights out.
Be the Nesmith that we want and need. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like with Nesmith, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record because I feel like I say this all the time when I talk about Nesmith, but you know, he really came in like this is a tough year for him to come in because he played barely a year and a half in college. Mm-hmm. He had the freshman year and then he got injured his second year. Someone like Nesmith really would have benefited from summer league, playing in the G League, using the G League to his advantage, because he's the type of player that just needs more playing time to get better. And here, not having summer league in the G League, the only way for him to get better is playing actual NBA minutes. And, you know, he's not like Pritchard. Pritchard went to college for 4 years and he went to a good school for 4 years and he played at a high level for 4 years. So it shouldn't have been much as a surprise as it was. Maybe it's a surprise how much of an impact he made, but like just him being NBA ready shouldn't have been as big as a surprise as it was. You know, we had high expectations for Nesmith. 14th pick in the draft. I dubbed him the best shooter in the draft. And, you know, he came out cold. I think he just was really nervous. I don't think he had any confidence at the start of the season. You could just tell when he's on the court, just like the way he's shooting, the way he's moving, just looked lost. And every single game that he's played, he's looked better than he did the game before. He's hit 6 of his last 10 threes. He's hit 3 threes the last 2 games. You know, he's really turning that corner. And I think the biggest thing, you know, to give credit to that is his confidence. Like the more time he plays, the better he's going to get, the more confidence he's going to get. Marcus Smart said after one game, like, you know, like we know what he can bring to the table and we have confidence in him that he can really contribute. Him hearing things like that and him going on the floor and seeing the ball go in the basket, I think that's the biggest thing that he needed, because now he sees it go in. He's building that confidence. You know, I can actually do this. And he, you know what, let me tell you, his shot looks really, really good. Yeah. I'm not going to jump the gun and I'm not going to be like, oh, like he's here now. He's arrived. He's going to be like a difference maker now. Like I'm not going to jump the gun and say that, but I'm very encouraged with what I'm seeing from him. And I'm hoping Brad Stevens continues to, you know, reward him minutes because he's earned more minutes. And I think, you know, that's the only way for him to get better. So I like what I see from him and hopefully he can keep it up.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And I think one thing you brought up that was probably going to be my overall take is, so if we flash back to how we were comparing Pritchard and Nesmith, we were like, Pritchard came in and was like, I'm an alpha out here. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm not going to feel like a rookie. When we saw Nesmith, he was kind of like, oh, like I'm a timid, like little, you know, rookie and I'm afraid.
You know, someone tweeted, they were like, he is like the typical like freshman in high school that's playing on varsity. And he's just like trying to fit in. And he's like just out there and trying to do things to impress his teammates. And yeah. I was like, honestly, that's a great analysis there.
It is. And so, but like I was saying with the confidence, it's like finally 2 games now in a row, I kind of had that sort of effort vibe from Nesmith where he's like, hey, this guy standing in front of me, this probably isn't a smart shot for a rookie to take, but guess what? I'm still going to shoot it because I think I can make it. And then he drills it, which is, you got to have that. I mean, you're not going to be a rookie that makes a difference if you're only taking the open shots, or if you're hell not taking them at all and being afraid to pass, or being afraid to shoot and passing the ball. So I think that's kind of the biggest takeaway. Even forget the numbers, the fact that he's had like the chuck it mentality, but like a smart chuck it. It's not like he's shooting every time. You know what I mean, though? The fact that that's now in his brain, I think, is going to do wonders. But I think we've all said it now. The sort of, it's too early to tell. Like he has in, you know, against him, he has stunk in the NBA more than he's been good. So we got to see, a little bit more.
Dan Greenberg from Barstool actually put this tweet out not too long ago. He said, while playing the fewest minutes, 14 and a half, of any rookie to attempt at least 3.5 3-pointers a night, Aaron Nesmith is 6th in 3-point percentage and 7th in 3-point made, which is 1.3. So, you know, he started off really bad, didn't look great on both ends of the floor, but he's really picking the last few games. He's really picking it up. And one thing I want to note too, 2 things, actually. Last night against Chicago, he played with the starters. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you noticed, like with the rotations and stuff, he was playing alongside Marcus, Jalen, Jason, and I believe it was Tyser Thompson. And, you know, he's hitting these threes. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum assisted on 2 of his 3 threes. Like, he's playing with the big dogs, and he's playing very well, and he's impressing them. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is not even just on offense. Like, on defense, like, when he started off, he looked like just lost, like completely lost out there. Every game he's hustling, he's getting rebounds, he fights for boards. There was two instances, I think it was against Cleveland, where he saved the ball from going out of bounds and gave the Celtics another possession. Like, he's hustling, like he's playing hard in all facets, and you know, he's not just relying on shooting to be the only way he impacts the game. He's impacting games in other ways as well, and I think that's key for him to getting more minutes.
Yeah, so let's just hope he stays on this trend, because I think that's right. Now, I'm full of amazing transitions this episode, if you haven't noticed. But speaking of a good trend, how about Jaylen Brown this year? I mean, I think we've talked about Jaylen over and over again on this podcast, but spoiler alert.
We can never talk about
enough. Exactly. Spoiler alert. Any of the Tommy Points fans so far, you better get used to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum talk. So this is a chart that was floated out on Twitter earlier today. It's the TPA performance for the Celtics on the team. So, I mean, I had to go look up what the hell TPA was. Obviously, from an aesthetic standpoint, like, Jaylen Brown looks like he's off the screen, so it must be good. But what TPA is, pretty much like the dumb, and I could say that as a self-appointed dumb explanation here, is pretty much how many points you're valuing, how many points you're worth out there on your team, you know, both you scoring points on the offensive end and then sort of saving points on the defensive end. I think there's a few other factors in there, but pretty much to be, you know, towards the top right is better, because that means the horizontal line there on the bottom is the minutes played, and the TPA is that that advanced stat where the higher the number, the better. So if you look at this, Jaylen Brown's played the most minutes and has the highest points added. I think that's just incredible. I mean, we could talk Jaylen right now, but then we can kind of dig into some of these other guys, because they might not be where we want them to be. But does this surprise you guys? Like, I think I can look at any stat or any chart like this for the Celtics this year, and Jaylen Brown's going to be towards the top of it. Like, he's at that level. The fact that even an advanced stat where, you know, I feel like you could nitpick where he's been bad, a stat like this, but it's like he's still just knocking it out of the park.
I mean, listen, I think I've run out of words. I don't think there's any word in the dictionary to really like emphasize how good Jaylen Brown has been this year. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Just the progression, the growth that like the leap he's taking. Like, obviously, you know, going into this season, we were expecting an all-star year. Like, you know, he barely missed the all-star game last year. Hayward's gone. Kemba's going to be gone for a little bit. Jaylen Brown, like, this was his time to step up and truly prove if he can be a number two option. And holy crap, he's much better than a number two option. It's like 1A and 1B at this point. Like, I don't see Jaylen Brown as number two. In the last few games without Tatum, he's shown every single game that he is very much worthy of being a number one option, that he can be a number one option. So this team has two number one options, and it's just like, every game, it's something new that impresses me about him. He just, whether it's 33 points in 19 minutes, or it's dropping a career high, or it's whatever, he's incredible, and he's having an MVP like year. And I don't hesitate when I say that, because he genuinely is.
One thing too, I saw in the replies to the tweet that we grabbed this from too, they said where Jason Tatum is, it's really more or less like you want to be higher on this graph because minutes played can vary, but where Jason Tatum is like a really, really good spot on this TPA graph too. But then Jaylen Brown is just like, I mean, literally head and shoulders above him. But yeah. Is there anyone that sticks out in a negative light to you guys? Because I have a couple names here that kind of shocked me.
You want to start, Riley?
Grant Williams.
Oh, took my guy.
This whole, grouping right here, to me, because again, if you're down here, like, the one thing I have with Neesmith is his TPAs in the negatives, but the minutes are there to really, you know what I mean? But this right here, like I said, surprising. I wouldn't think Tristan Thompson has been that bad in this stat, but Peyton Pritchard, a guy that we love, is technically on the wrong side of it as well, which is kind of shocking to me.
Pritchard's made more of an impact on offense than defense, but like, I think with defense, it's kind of like with Kemba Walker, how it's just like, you know, he's not the best on-ball defender, but he's someone that will annoy the hell out of you and is active on defense. You know, getting steals, just being aggressive. I think that's the name of the game for him. And Tristan Thompson, this was probably from a week ago, so I don't know what the stats are now, but I saw this thing. It was like field goal percentage, like his opponent's field goal percentage. It literally was like at least like 50-55% on every spot on the court. Like, he has been terrible defensively this year. Like, terrible. So that doesn't surprise me. Grant Williams, guys, you know, I've tried defending him on this show. I try to give him guys the benefit of the doubt. I really do. This past week, he's like, I'm sorry, Grant, if you ever watch this episode, but you've sucked this past week. Like, the two games that he started, like, against Philly, awful. Like, the first time this season, I was actually happy to see Brad Stevens started Tyson Thompson instead of Grant Williams and Thompson, or Grant Williams and Tice. Like, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I don't know. Some games he looks like $1 million, and then some games he looks like he's worth a penny. And it's just, it's confusing, because I wish he could make a bigger impact for this team, because I know deep down he can. But he just hasn't done it. So that doesn't surprise me. And
He's playing. He actually looked decent last night, but I remember I tweeted out, I think in the Cavs game, he came in and still looked like
he played garbage minutes, and he still
couldn't even hang with those guys. It was crazy. But all right, so here was my takeaway from looking at this grouping. I don't know if you guys can see my mouse here, but if we, even before the year, were to say, who are the guys that really are supposed to change this team and change, I guess, the bench of this team, the names that we talked about were Semi Ojeleye, Grant Williams, Jeff Teague. Look at where these guys are.
I mean, yeah.
And we're going to talk about the bench, because we have a voicemail about the bench, but it is slightly alarming. I don't know how much stock we can put into the TPA stat. You know, it's more or less something that speaks to Jalen than I think speaks overly negative about anyone. But it is alarming to see that none of those guys that were supposed to be really like crucial off the bench are doing the above and beyond things, except for Robert Williams. He's on the plus side. So
I mean, I'll say one more thing about this group of guys right here. Peyton Pritchard, please, you know, thank God. First of all, thank God he didn't tear his ACL. Like, I immediately, I thought he tore his ACL, and then they zoomed the camera on him, and it looked like he said he felt it pop. And like, that's an indication that you tore something. Sprained MCL, so thank God that happened. But I really, really want Peyton Pritchard to get back as soon as he can, because I cannot stand Jeff Teague. It really upsets me, because he has one job, and that's just to contribute off the bench. Just be good. He has tunnel vision. He just has his mind set to something, and he does it. Like, he makes bad passes. He makes bad shots. Like, I don't know. Like, he was supposed to be a good contributor off the bench, and he started the season off so well. He wasn't missing threes or anything. And then I remember when we first signed him, people were just like, you know, it sounds good, but just get ready, because then he's going to have his moments.
And
he's had his moments, and I don't like him. I don't. So, Pritchard.
I feel like we've kind of been hustled, to be honest. I mean, after the first game, it was amazing.
That's the best way to put it.
And then since then...
You're right. We got hustled for years. This guy was killing us in Atlanta. This guy was a former all-star. He was on some great teams, and he was killing Boston. And then we finally get our hands on him, and he's still killing us. Yeah. Just internally now, not from the outside.
He's going to be a sleeper agent for the Hawks or something.
He's undercover. He still has some, like, I don't know if he's still mad at us for something, but it's just like, it sucks, because he should be better than, you know, how he's been playing. I'm not saying trade the guy, because at the end of the day, he is a veteran and he's been in the NBA for a while. So I don't mind keeping him around, like, for, you know, that locker room presence and stuff. But like, geez, I'd rather give Peyton Pritchard the full 48 minutes and give Jeff Teague one, in my opinion. Like, I'm not trying to be hard, but like,
I'd be more concerned about Teague if Kemba didn't come back and look good, or didn't come out of nowhere. So,
We said the same thing about Nesmith at the beginning of the year. It's like, we'd be more concerned if Pritchard wasn't playing as good as he was. So it's like, since Kemba Walker is back and he's healthy, like, that's awesome. And it kind of, you know, people still talk trash about Teague, as they should, but it does, you know, kind of cover that a little bit.
Yeah. Let's do our first voicemail ever on the Tommy Points podcast, because it kind of relates to what we're talking about. So Shout out to Liam here. This is the first voicemail ever played. If you guys want to leave a voicemail for next episode, it's 617-299-9269.
Count that up.
Dante, you're the resident counter. You're supposed
to
be the...
Yeah, that was too quick for me. I couldn't do that.
All right. Let's play this.
Hey, guys. This is Liam, a Celtics fan from Atlanta, Georgia, actually. I've got a question for you guys, you know, kind of watching the last few games with the Sixers and kind of more. Kind of just seeing that the Celtics have really had a tough time with the bench and not being able to score. And I just kind of wanted you guys' thoughts on this because I really thought this was the year the Celtics would actually have a decent bench. You know, Teague coming off it, Pritchard doing really good. And even having, you know, Theis had a nice 19-point game coming off the bench, but still, despite, you know, having good offensive players coming off the bench, which was a huge struggle last year, still not able to get stuff going on offense. So really like to hear your guys' thoughts on it. Thanks for having me. Bye.
All right, shout out to Liam for our very first.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Liam. All right, who wants to start with that?
Here's my just, I guess, overall take on the bench. So Teague, I think, Riley, you kind of just put it perfectly, we were hustled with. But the thing about the bench, too, is that we were relying on guys that were already on the team to get better this year. So if we look at Grant Williams, Robert Williams, and Semi Ojeleye, that's sort of my trio of if all of these guys were to take a step up, I think that this bench actually is a lot better than they were last year. Now, I will say two of the three have stepped up. I think Robert Williams has. I know he got injured, but I think Semi Ojeleye, he might be coming down to earth now, but I think he stepped up to start the year. But Grant Williams, not to dog on him anymore, but I think he really has cost the Celtics. And I've made the claim before, all three of those guys needed to step up to give them, you know, more of a solidified bench. Even if one of them fell off, it's kind of like, well, now you just have two guys that you were looking for. I think I could be nitpicking, but I think, you know, it was like all three or nothing. And I think that's kind of rung true here. So that's just in terms of the guys that obviously we were expecting to take a leap. And I think, you know, the fact that Grant Williams was supposed to be at the top of that list to take the leap and to take more of a role, and he's been the guy that's probably regressed the most, I think says a lot about the bench. But the season's still young, and I think we've seen Grant Williams turn it around before. So my biggest concern on the bench is really just like that trio that I was looking at. I think when we talked about, like, you know, in episode one, what were you looking for in the season? I mentioned how I wanted to see those three guys, like what they were off the bench. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, 1.5 to 2 out of 3 are doing well, whereas Grant Williams is that sole guy just stinking.
Yeah. What do you think, Riley?
You know, obviously the bench is still a concern. I feel like this year, it's kind of hard to see, but I feel like this year the bench isn't as big of a concern. It's still a concern. You know, if you look at like last year, we had Wanamaker. We hadn't Wanamaker getting any better. Same thing with Cantor. We knew what he was. He wasn't going to improve. I still think that Teague and Thompson can, you know, improve and start playing better than they already have off the bench. I think Semi Ojeleye, I think he helps space the floor for Jason and and I think he goes a little underappreciated because he doesn't put up the points. But when he's out there, Tatum and Brown are, you know, looking amazing. So, and Richard, Grant Williams, no. And Robert Williams is who I'm big on. I really think he should start getting more minutes than Thompson. I know we want to see Thompson and Tice, you know, be the two-punch combo. But I think Robert Williams is going to be our next, you know, center of the future. So I really am all in on him, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of piggybacking off of you, I mean, compared to last year, I think our bench is better, just because our bench last year, it can't really have been much worse. But, you know, it's just like we made upgrades in some sense, like, you know, Thompson over Cantor. Obviously Thompson starts, but like you made the upgrade Thompson over Cantor, Teague over Wanamaker. I mean, in this case, if you want to say Peyton Pritchard over Wanamaker, you can. But, you know, the bench confuses me this year because there's one game, I forget what game it was. It was last week. The bench scored 66 points. And then we're going up against a team like the Knicks. And although I know everyone sucked that game, the bench put up like barely 20 points. So it's just like there are some nights where the bench is going off. They're really good. And some nights they're not. There are guys that have really stepped up. Like Semi Ojeleye has, you know, from what we were expecting from him at the beginning of the year, he's stepped up in that sense. Robert Williams, yeah, you said, Riley, like I believe, you know, he fits the timeline perfectly. I imagine him being the future starting center to play next to Jalen and Jason. Just his style of play, it just helps everyone around. He makes people around them better because he doesn't take shots away. He's always hustling, playing good defense. I know he had COVID, so he hasn't really been playing that much since he's been back because the conditioning and all that stuff. But he is someone that I want to get more minutes from. So, you know, there are guys that have been, you know, impressive and that have really, you know, surprised me a bit. But there are also guys that have been underwhelming, like, you know, like Jeff Teague and, you know, Aaron Nesmith, I guess, is a good example up until the last few games. And of course, Grant Williams. At the same time, too, like, obviously, the Celtics have not had a full roster the entire year. Like, their roster has been hurt all year, whether it's one person or guys being out with COVID. So, in a way, you know, the bench has, you know, struggled a little bit because you have to start guys off the bench. You got to work with, you know, rotations and lineups. So, I'm not, you know, is it a concern? I would be lying if I said, you know, it wasn't a slight concern. But at the same time, I'm not going to make that full judgment until everyone's healthy. I mean, Romeo Langford, too. I mean, when he comes back, like, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the Lord and Savior for this team. But he is someone that will contribute a lot, especially on defense. And, you know, if his shot's gotten better, that's another plus. So I just think you have to wait to see everyone, like, just to see the full lineup, and then we can make that judgment. But I mean, there are times when they look really good and they don't, so I don't know, they're inconsistent, I guess that's what I'm drawing to.
Yeah, I feel like to me, what this bench, like, best case scenario is, goes in and sort of treads water and keeps you afloat rather than sinking the team.
That's
best case though. So
yeah, because last year if you put the bench in, they were sinking.
right. Yeah. And there's some teams in the league that have benches that, like, when you go second unit against second unit, that's where they make their strike. Mm-hmm. That's not the Celtics. They don't need them to be that. So I'm saying best case, I just want them to tread water, and I hope that they can do that more often than not.
Yeah.
I think it's, in my mind, it's almost been probably like 55-45 in favor of that this year. Like, I think the bench has looked a lot better than we saw last year, but there has been times where, you know, we've seen third quarter leads get blown because the bench comes in, you know? So it's not like it's the same problems from last year just up and vanished. They're still there, but I don't know. We'll see. I think Dante, you put it pretty well. You know, it's like the bench hasn't even been like the bench yet because you're plucking either Marcus Smart out of it or one of the bigs, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are games we started Jeff Teague. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Just, so the bench isn't the bench when you have to start guys from it, which is something we struggled with all last year. But
one thing, too, I want to say, you know, as we get closer to playoff time and when we do eventually reach the playoffs, you know, we're trashing on Teague. We're saying things about Teague, how Thompson really hasn't been that great of a defender. I mean, both those guys have been in the playoffs countless times. Like that's where their experience comes in. So when the playoffs come around, who knows? They could, you know, turn it up a level, and they could really pick it up, and they could look night and day compared to how they look now. But obviously, that's something that would happen in the future. But
I like the way that Riley said it too. You said like Teague could still get better, whereas I feel like you just knew what you were getting from Wanamaker. There's no saying that Teague isn't going to get better throughout the year because where experience starts to shine. So to both of your points, I do think that's kind of a sleeper pick in terms of what this bench could be.
Yeah, the bench has a lot of potential. It does. They have a lot of good names off the bench. It's a matter of whether or not they click and whether or not these guys perform the way they should. Like, if you have Grant Williams playing the way he is, he's not, in my opinion, he shouldn't be getting minutes. So it's just that they got to pick it up, and they got to stop being so inconsistent.
And there's one small thing that I'm kind of excited for, but I don't want to get my hopes up. Not that I'm not happy at all that Peyton Pritchard got hurt, but I'm really hoping that Carson Edwards can take it, this opportunity. And that would be a crazy comeback story in my
opinion.
All last year, right? Just failed, you know, on the bench. Then this year, someone takes his spot, gets injured, he gets another shot, and then finally makes it. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Edwards was that, you know, last year he had his opportunity. He had a few opportunities last year, got some run, and he didn't play that well. He shot like 30% from three, and he was known for being a shooter. And, you know, this year coming in, you got Kemba, Marcus Smart, you signed Jeff Teague, you drafted Pritchard, you still got Tremont. The guard position is very, very heavy in Boston. So it wasn't a surprise that he's out of the loop, because if he played well last year and, you know, he took advantage of his opportunities, that's one thing, but he didn't. So he kind of got lost in the shuffle. Since Pritchard's been out, you know, he's gotten a healthy amount of minutes. I mean, against Cleveland, he had 18 points. He's been playing extremely well since his Twitter got hacked and he retweeted a bunch of porn or whatever it was. So he's been killing it. I think he's just trying to make people forget about that or whatever it was. but no, I've been really impressed with how he's been playing. And, you know, I've always liked Carson. I really have. Because I imagine him as someone that can be a good player, just in a better better situation from him. I think him being in Boston and being lost in the shuffle hurts him for sure. But, you know, it's just a matter of when your number's called, take advantage of it and take advantage of every minute you're in the game. And that's what he's been doing. So hopefully he can keep it up.
You know what a kind of under the radar thing is too, with him playing well, it bumps his trade value up if he is going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
he could strive in another system, to your point, Dante. Like,
I truly do believe he has talent and he has a lot of potential. It's just him being in the right situation.
So, and if that's in Boston, who knows? But I do think that he keeps playing well when he has the opportunity. He could make a name for himself, because he has the ability to go off. We've seen him do it. You know, and you know, maybe he'll do it again. And all of a sudden, teams like, oh, picking up the phone about Carson Edwards. But
yeah. And listen, he had 18 against Cleveland. I'm just saying, we should like tell him. Someone should tell him before every game. We're playing Cleveland. It's just like we're 70 games in. It's like, hey, we're playing Cleveland. I'm like, really? Like, we played them like 70 games this year. Like, yeah, weird schedule. You know, COVID and everything. They really don't want us traveling too much. We just keep playing Cleveland.
Why are they wearing blue?
Like, why are they wearing blue and green? Like, what?
Throwbacks.
No, just someone has to tell him we're playing Cleveland tonight, and now something will snap in his head and he'll just start going off.
All right, let's switch gears. We got a voicemail from our boy Sean Palmer, and let's see what he has
shout
to say.
Out Sean.
Shout out Sean. Done a lot
shout
for the
out Sean.
What's going on, guys? You already know whose voice this is. Guy Boston. This is kind of a serious.
I'm gonna pause it. I like how Sean thinks. Like, yeah, we just know.
Yeah,
voice.
I
yeah.
love that.
That's how you come in on a voicemail line as an alpha.
You know, I know who this is.
All right, here we go.
What's going on, guys? You already know whose voice this is. This is Palmer Guy Boston. This is kind of a serious question, not directly Celtics related, but I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how Shaq is being a complete asshole to a player in the NBA, specifically the Donovan Mitchell one got under my skin. I posted a tweet this morning showing Kobe Bryant, who tomorrow will be the 1 year since we lost him, working out with Tatum, taking these young guys under his wings and helping them instead of being a dick like Shaq. Let me know what you guys think. See ya.
All right, so first off, RIP to Kobe. That 1 year anniversary is crazy.
Yeah, it actually still is surreal to me that actually happened. It's devastating, absolutely devastating.
It really is. But what do you guys think of the voicemail? Because I'm assuming we've seen the clip of Shaq literally to Donovan Mitchell's face being like, I don't think you can get to the next level. And Donovan Mitchell's like, all right. And my gut reaction was, one, the ball's on Shaq to say that. That's just like ridiculous. It was almost funny to me that he said that, but then like the second, I think he's wrong. Like, I think Donovan Mitchell is elite. Like, what
he's
level
having a career year.
Yeah, what level are you asking him to get to? Like, I feel like you can't involve like championships or Hall of Fame into a level right now. Like, he's young too. I was like, what the hell is that? So Sean's question talking about how you know, some of the older generations are Shaq being the example, ripping guys compared to, like we saw in the video that I posted that I don't know if we mentioned, but Jason Tatum quote tweeted, my new best friend, Allen Iverson was given props to a young guy. Yeah, in case we forgot. I feel like I have to mention that a couple more times. But Allen Iverson gave props to a young guy.
Yep. I mean, obviously, it's not for us. Like, it's tough to say, like, Shaq shouldn't be saying those things. Like, he has no right saying those things. Because at the end of the day, he's an NBA legend. top 10 player of all time, you can argue, and he's, you know, he's earned his right to really say and do what he wants, right? But at the same time, I feel like there's a line that, you know, you can't cross. And for him to say something like that to someone like Donovan Mitchell, like, you can't take it to the next level. Let me tell you this. The Jazz are the third seed in the West. They're 12-4. The Lakers are 14-4. The Clippers are 13-4. So they're right, you know, they're neck and neck with those guys. I'm not saying they're better than them, but they're neck and neck with them. Donovan Mitchell averaging 24 points a game, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 44% from the field, 41% from 3. He's having a career year. The Jazz are having an unbelievable year. It's just, I don't know. Like, I understand, like, he thinks he can just say these things and not get away with it. But nowadays, it's just like, you know, that people are going to be pissed that you say that those things. And he should know better, you know.
It was also, I think it was after he dropped, like, near 40 points.
So yeah. Like, what? So what game was that after? When was that?
I forget. It was a week plus ago, but I think he had like 36.
Because I'm looking at, so I'm looking at his last 5 games. He had 26, 18, 28, 36, 23, and all those games are wins.
I think it was the 36.
Yeah, and they've won all those games. He said a few weeks ago, Christian Wood on the Rockets, he was on, and he was just like, yeah, like, I had no idea who you were. Like, I didn't know you were this good. And Christian Wood was like, oh, yeah, you're a casual. And it's just it's like, if you're gonna say something, or if you have something to say, you better have something to back it up. Him saying that about Donovan Mitchell, he has nothing to back that up. What do you mean you don't think he can take it to the next level? He's, what is he, 24
maybe?
24? He's 24, and he's turning 25 in September. So he just turned 24. Donovan he's Mitchell. So young. He's Jaylen Brown's age.
Every single thing he's done has shown that he is getting to the next level.
I love Donovan Mitchell. He's one of the most exciting players to watch. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Shaq doesn't care. I mean, he can get ripped on as much as he wants. He actually doubled down. I just Googled it. He said it again. He basically, like, made an Instagram post, like, basically double downing on it. And it's just, I don't know. He doesn't care. But at the same time, if I'm an NBA player, like, you can't listen to that stuff. I know, I think it was Ingles or Bogdanovich, someone on the Jazz was just like, yeah, like, we have no concern over what these guys say. Like, they're old heads. Like, we don't care. And that's, honestly, that's the attitude you got to have. As great as Shaq is, any sort of criticism, any hate that comes your way, brush it off. Donovan Mitchell knows he's great, and everyone else knows he's great. And just keep it at that. Don't worry about what one person has to say about you.
I know. I just feel like that's, like, not how Shaq continues on his legacy, if that makes sense. Like, you look at someone like Kobe in Sean's voicemail. He said how Kobe worked with Tatum. He's worked with countless young guys.
Mm-hmm. He wants to pass it on.
Exactly. Like, he's in it for the game, not just for calling guys out, being like, hey, you're not as good as I once was, you know, NBA power rankings wise. But,
I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, you just got to block out the noise doing your thing. The Jazz are in a great position right now, so I'm sure that they are not concerned. Didn't he rip apart Gobert of, like, a few weeks ago or like a month ago, saying how he, like, you can be, it's like, listen, kids, you all you have to do is average 12 points a game and you can make $50 million a year or whatever it was. So, like, he was just ripping on Gobert. It's like, bro, it's like, come
just
on.
Just letting it fly.
Just let the guys play. They're fine. Like, I don't know.
All right. So again, thanks for those voicemails. You can call in for the next episode or one of the future episodes, 617-299-9269. Was that a little slower for you guys?
Yeah, no, that was beautiful.
All right. How about we get to some trade rumors, some trade talk? Does that sound good?
Let's do it. I love trade talk.
All right. So I know you love this one, Dante, because it happens to be your tweet. So.
Okay. You know, so. Yeah, you go, let me show you this tweet, and you pull it up and it's my tweet. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen
this. Have you seen this before?
Yeah, I've seen this.
okay, so Shams came out and pretty much said that, you know, the Pelicans are looking to move some players here. Now, I don't want to talk about the first name mentioned.
Nor the
here.
First guy.
We talked about nor that loser. Guy. But the second name, JJ Redick, I feel like has been a Celtics fan's Celtics fans have salivated over JJ Redick for so long, and I'm wondering if we're nearing the point where we could actually see him in green. What do you guys think? Again, I know what Dante. Don't you think he would fit, like?
He would be perfect.
A glove?
Perfect.
Like a glove.
He is shooting 30% from three this year. He's averaging a literal career low from three, only 8 points a game. At the same time, he's averaging a career low in points. Well, this is the lowest amount of points he's averaged since he was 24 in Orlando back in 2008.
Back when Shaq said that he's never going to get to the next level.
Yeah, right. No, he's not in a great situation right now. I mean, the Pelicans have a lot of young talent. They're on a great trajectory. They're going to be a really good team one day. I just don't think JJ Redick is fitting there right now. You know, by the way, you know, his minutes, that's taken a dip. His shooting's taken a dip. At the end of the day, what you got to look at, last year he shot 45% from three on nearly seven attempts. He's a 41% three-point shooter for his career. He is someone that you bring into Boston and you want to talk about guys that will help immediately. He's one of those guys, like, just not afraid to shoot the ball. And he can shoot the three in any aspect, catch and shoot, pull up, off the dribble, whatever it is. And you put him next to guys like Kemba, Jalen, Jason, like, and Marcus, who's averaging a career high in assist. He's going to eat. He's going to eat on this team. A lot of guys were saying, like, a lot of people were tweeting at me, like, you know, he's not really someone you want because he's not great defensively. Like, he kind of is like Kemba, how it's just like, you know, like, he's active, but he's not the best on-ball defender. But at the same time, it goes back to the same point I made. We have plenty of good defenders on this team that will help him out. And I think what's more of a concern right now is this team needs more shooting. This team needs more, you know, offensive firepower. When we need someone to score, like against the Sixers, you know, we definitely could have used someone like JJ Redick, you know, throughout the game. And I think that he would be perfect. I think he'd be, like Riley said, like a glove, seriously. And he's someone, like, we have that trade exception. You know, someone was like, how do you make this work? This is what we got the trade exception for, to make moves like this. So, you know, I hope Danny Ainge has JJ Redick on his radar, at least, you know, at least entertain the thought, at least see, like, feel it out what he's worth. You know, I'm sure the Pelicans wouldn't mind taking a draft pick and, you know, they'll take on the trade exception, whatnot. I don't know. I'm not the Pelicans GM, but, you know, I feel like it's not a trade that would be impossible to get done. So I'm hoping Danny Ainge is looking at least to make a move like this, if it's not JJ, but I would love JJ on the Celtics.
No, I think he'd be a great player. And then I also think he'd make other players on the Celtics great. I think if we got JJ Redick, Jaylen Brown might honestly average 35 points a game.
Hey,
you got a guy on the perimeter that you got to guard. It's going to open up lanes for Jaylen and Jason. And yeah, obviously he can shoot, but I think that would help their game improve also.
Another thing,
even with that though, even if he doesn't shoot well, defenses have to respect from now until the rest of his career, JJ Redick as a 3-point shooter. To your point,
even if he's 45 years old, you got to respect him when he's open for three. But you know, helping teammates out too. Think about how, like, him being as great of a shooter he is, someone like Romeo Langford or Aaron Nesmith could really benefit from playing with someone like that and could really learn and develop.
Get that elbow in, kid. Get that elbow in.
Yeah, get that elbow in. It's just like, you know, it's like, you know, big men need other big men to help mentor them and help them get better. Like, I would say if Al Horford was still on this team, he would make someone like Robert Williams 10 times better. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like his veteran presence, his high IQ, like, he'd be able to help guys out. JJ Redick, he's been around the league for how many years has he played? He's played 7, 4, 11, 13, 15, 16 years. Sorry, I'm slow with counting. Oh. 16 years he's played in the NBA. And he's been a great shooter throughout his entire career. Like, he can help guys out with their shot. So it's like, not only are you getting him to benefit you on the court, but off the court as well. So it's like a win-win, in my opinion. So.
And the thing with, like, everyone's going to have... Any guy the Celtics trade for, he's going to have, like, a bad part of his game. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, we're not trading for the most complete player. And we're not going to trade for, like, a LeBron James with the trade player exception. Yeah. You get either a good shooter, but guess what? He's going to stink on defense. It's like, well, yeah, you're hoping that his shooting, you know, counteracts or overvalues any sort of defensive lapse. Or they're going to, you know, possibly get a big man, for example. We'll talk about some other names here. That is, like, an extremely good defender. Oh, but he can't finish inside. It's like, well, no kidding. Like, you're getting a guy for a certain need. You're not trying to trade for the best basketball player of all time.
People are always gonna have something to complain about regardless. The Celtics could trade for LeBron James and they'd be like, you kidding me? We got like this guy that shoots 37% three in his career. Like, no, we don't need them. Like, it's always something.
All right, what do we think of this name? We have a couple more that we have screenshots for, but then we can throw out a couple more names. But what do we think of this name? Julius Randle.
I mean, I don't know what it would take to get him. If this was like beginning of the season, I feel like this would have been much more possible because Julius Randle is having an incredible year. Like, definitely up there for most improved players. He's the MVP of the Knicks by a mile. And I don't think the Knicks would let him go for nothing. So in that sense, I'm going to go with something like this. Just I don't think is possible to happen. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, I wouldn't mind Julius Randle on the Celtics. I think the way he's been playing, how he passes the ball, rebounds, scores, I don't have his stats in front of me, but
it's 23, 11, and 6.
There you go. You got a guy that can score, rebound, and pass the ball. Like, I mean, he's literally the main reason why the Knicks are like as good, I guess, as they are this year. I'm not saying they're good, but like as good as they are, it's because of Randle. I'm pretty sure they're like the 8th seed right now, in the Eastern Conference. But like, yeah, I don't think the Knicks would really let him go if it comes about and the price is cheap. We'll talk.
And but, we don't know how valid the tweet is.
Yeah, I don't know. I someone tweeted that at me and I even quote tweeted it because I love riling people up and I like to see what people I just put the little eyeball emojis and quoted it just to see what people would say. Yeah, so it's like who knows if that's even a real thing, but I mean I guess it's something to keep an eye on. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I don't know if I would put him at the level of you'd have to give up one of your not obviously not Jason or Jalen or anything like that, but I don't know if I would give up much more than the TPE, you know?
It would take more than the trade exception and a few picks to get him. Yeah, exactly.
So I think he's really good and stuff. I would definitely have to think like, okay, well, now are you giving up a lot to get someone like that? Whereas if we're throwing out names just like JJ Redick, I don't think you're going to have to give up a lot to bring in. You know what I mean? So
no. Yeah. And plus another thing too, is I think this is the last year on his contract. And even if it's not, if it's next year, whatever it is, he's going to want a lot of money when his contract is up. And the Celtics, obviously, you know, they have to be cautious and they have to be smart with what they do with their money. I mean, this is years away, but like Jaylen Brown's going to be due for a hefty contract in a few years. So it's like, you got to save up for that. You can't just be giving that money out when you got to save it for more important things.
Yeah.
Dante, the financial advisor.
I just said 2 minutes ago, I'm not good with numbers. And then here I am on contracts.
Low expectations, then high payoff. You set the bar low. Exactly. All right. Here's the last one. This isn't necessarily anything linked to the Celtics, but ever since he kind of had comments about Trae Young and how he didn't like how he runs the offense, and then he was like walked it back saying, well, he's my teammate, so I love him. John Collins has been a guy that I feel like, I don't know. I guess I'm just asking, what do you guys think of the player if they were to work something like that out? I think that's another guy where you'd have to give up a lot because this is a young guy that shows a lot of promise. But what do you think of, say the trade works out and it makes sense. Do you think he fits here?
Tell me, Riley, do you think he fits?
I was going to say, I mean, I really like John Collins as a player, but I don't know. Like, that's what I was trying to think. I wouldn't say he wouldn't fit, but
He's not like the custom molding of, oh my God, he's the guy that's going to just come in here and strive right away. Like he's still, like, I feel like very raw and you don't necessarily know exactly which direction his game is going to go in. So I feel like there could be some question marks, but I think he's young enough to possibly grow with the Jays, you know what I mean? And become a possible big three.
Yeah. I mean, he's 23. He's still very young. A trade. I mean, if we're talking trades here, I mean, it would not take much because he's still on his rookie deal. So he's only making like 3, 4, 5 million, whatever it is. So getting a trade down wouldn't be the hardest thing in the world. But, you know, I feel like I don't know if it would work because he's not really like a solidified player. Like last year, he averaged 21 and 10. And you know, those are great numbers, but the Atlanta Hawks sucked last year. You know, this year his numbers took a little bit of a dip. He's only averaging 17 and 7, which is, you know, that's respectable. But you know, it's just, I don't know if what he brings to the table is something that would really take the Celtics to the next level. I think there's potential that it could happen. I just don't think he's like immediate impact. Like, I don't know if you bring him in right away and that immediately puts us up the next tier. Like, that puts us on the same level as the other teams ahead of us. Like, I don't think it does that.
That's probably a better way of how I was saying, like,
yeah,
like you're I was saying he would grow with them, which is, I think you're putting in a better context of you make a trade to try and fix the team right now. Not just, they have enough guys for the future.
If I think Danny Ainge right now, and one of my buddies, we were talking about this too, when Kevin Porter on the Cavs got traded for a second round pick, right? Like, basically nothing. Danny Ainge could obviously have given them a second round pick for Kevin Porter. But he's not looking to trade for guys that are projects or are like a long-term thing. He's looking for guys that make an impact, that will make us better, that help us win a championship this year. John Collins, can he be that guy to help us in a few years? Absolutely. He's still very young. He can still develop and learn a lot of things and grow with this team. But as far as this year goes, I don't think he's going to do that for us. That's why, like, someone like JJ Redick, like, I mean, who's a better player? Probably John Collins right now, but JJ Redick would be more useful on the Celtics. So it's like, I'd much rather target someone like that than John Collins.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Is there any other names out there, or are there any other names out there that you guys have thought of or almost hoped for?
You know, I'll say this one name. I haven't really gotten caught up too much, and I haven't really, you know, thought too much about it, but it's someone that, you know, people have thrown that name out, and, you know, it's not the craziest idea in the world. Nikola Vukovic on the Magic. Listen, he's not that. He's someone that the Celtics have, you know, had interest in past years when he was a free. Well, the year before he was a free agent, he was on their trade radar. He could have gotten traded at the deadline. Stayed in Orlando, got another big contract. I think he only makes like 20, 25 mil a year. I think something around that. So it would take more than the trade exception. You'd have to, you know, include other things to make it work. But, you know, he's a center that could score, that can stretch the floor. And when you go against guys like Joel Embiid, that's critical because you get Joel Embiid out of the paint. Mm-hmm. You got Tice. Listen, Tice has been doing a lot better with shooting. He was shooting like 18% at one point from three, and now he's shooting like 33%. So he's getting better. But someone like Nikola Vukovic, he can shoot. So we don't really have a big man that could really stretch the floor that well, right? Nikola Vukovic would change that immediately. You know, just he's an all-around great player. He grabs boards. He can block shots. He's nearly 7 feet tall. You know, like I said, I haven't invested too much into that thought. But he's definitely someone that if he got, you know, his name came up on the radar, and if the price is right, I am all for bringing someone like that into Boston.
Yeah, I feel like it was brought up to me and I was like, no way, he's too old. And I thought for some reason in my mind, I thought he was like 35. He's 30, which isn't young, but I feel like you still get a solid, say he stays here for the remainder of that time. You still get a solid like 3 to 4 years for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe more, but I think I would be on board with that. Again, depending on what it would take, because I still don't think... I've said it on this show, right? It's like a learning year while contending, which is really unique. You don't like desperately need a trade. As much as us Celtics fans would love to see that trade, because then it puts that team right here, right now into absolute contention.
Yep.
You don't necessarily need it. So like how much of your future or your core, even call it, would you have to mortgage to go and get him? That's absolutely. Obviously, and that's such a, you know, fair weather way to respond, but it's true. It's like,
I think
you don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at that for anyone. It's just like you make a trade that makes sense. You don't do a trade just to do a trade, because if it costs you certain pieces like building blocks, you don't do it. It's not worth it. But if it's something that makes sense, you know, financially, and you don't really have to get rid of much, that's when you got to do it. So I agree with you there.
I think we're at the point, we're getting near the point where we can't be concerned about giving up young players or even draft picks. You know, Tatum and Brown are almost to the point where, you know, we need to start giving them pieces to be for championship, you know, not going after guys who are, like I said, projects or, you know, too young. So I would love to get, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Vukovic, whatever.
Nikola Vukovic.
Yeah.
Some people say like Vucevic. Some people
say Vuce. I don't say it often, but I think I say Vucevic, which I don't know which is right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Nikki V.
Yeah, that would be his nickname if he came to Boston. But yeah, I mean, like, I think you're right, Riley, because we're at a point right now or we know what we have with Jalen, Jason, and we're just, we got to build around them. It's clear that, you know, those are the guys, they're going to be here for a few more years. Fingers crossed, to pray to God that they stay here a lot longer than their current contracts. And it's just, now's the time where we know that we, this team revolves around them. So you got to get guys that, you know, help them out, guys that fit the mold, and guys that take you to the next level. And that's those like veterans and shooters like JJ Redick. You said how he would make Jaylen Brown and Jayce Tatum better by spreading the floor. That those are guys you got to look at. So fingers crossed that Danny Ainge does make a move like that. You know, I know it's one of those years where it's like you're seeing how things work and like who you can keep and who you don't want to keep after this year, but it wouldn't hurt, you know, getting someone like Redick and, you know, trying to make a championship run. I mean, we're almost right there to being a championship contending team.
Definitely.
We're just, yeah, we're just missing like just a few pieces, like not like big pieces, like not like we don't need another superstar, nothing like that.
The hard part's done. The hard work is
done. The hard part is done. We just need smaller pieces to fit around them and that make this, and that just make it work. I think that's the next step. And once we do that, we're golden.
I think if we had a reliable wing off the bench, that would help so much. Yeah. I know we bench everywhere, but just that aspect, I think.
Last name that I guess we can bring up, and it's been circulated, PJ Tucker. Where do you guys come out on him?
I'd be cool with him because he's not a guy that shoots a lot. He's a guy
the price is low too. They said a couple
second round picks. Yeah, 2 second round picks. Listen, all he does is stand in the corner and play defense. He's just like Marcus Smart, but without the shooting and all that stuff. I mean, like, he's like a bulldog. I mean, he literally is just like a guy that will piss you off all game long. That'll just annoy you. Like him and Marcus Smart on the floor together, I don't want to mess with them. I'd be afraid to even say a word to them. But yeah, I mean, someone like that's great because he's cheap, he's a veteran, and he doesn't do much to take away from guys like Jalen and Jason. If Danny Ainge got PJ Tucker and JJ Redick at the deadline, I'd be ecstatic.
I was just about to say that. I don't know if like PJ Tucker alone puts you into the category we just talked about, though. I think you'd still need something else, but
it would be a good piece to have. He's right, definitely something you'd want around, but doesn't take you to the next level.
Like,
right?
He's like a portion of the missing piece that you're looking for, I guess.
For sure. Yep.
Definitely. But sweet. You guys got anything else? Anything on the hot stove you want to get off your chest? Dante's thinking so hard.
Grant Williams, stop sucking. I've defended you. I've defended you, and I want you to be good. Please just help me out here. Help me. I want to defend you. You got to give me reasons to. So Grant, just play well.
Please. Grant, I'll make you a deal right now. You stop sucking, we'll allow you to come on this podcast.
Yes, yes. You're banned right now. You're banned, but you can be unbanned if you start putting together a few good games.
But
my last point would be to every Celtics player, if Jason Tatum passes you the ball, make the shot. I'm tired of seeing him make great passes and then not get the assist because no one can make a shot.
He was making some great passes last night in Chicago.
That one that just like I think who hit it? Javonte Green hit the three in the right corner. He had came off the screen, a left hand shuffle pass across the court. I was like, that moved the needle right there. That got me going here.
Yeah, him and Jalen have taken strides as far as playmaking goes. They look great.
But all right, I think that does it for episode 8 of Tommy Points. Obviously, another good episode. I think you know we got the big three talking Celtics here. It's bound to be a good episode, so hopefully everyone enjoyed. If you are still watching, make sure to subscribe to the podcast here on YouTube, leave a like too, comment down below. If you are listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you're subscribing, following there, and follow the guys. You can follow Dante on Twitter at Dante
I'm
on
so
deck.
Bad at this. How do I do this? There it is. It's weird.
Has to help Dante.
It's so weird. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing with my hands right now. Yeah, Riley's got me.
And you can follow Riley on Twitter at Color Sports. I think Dante, keep your hands. Sit on your hands right now so we won't get started.
Not doing anything with my hands.
You can follow me on Twitter at FGuyBoss. And as always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Tommy Points Pod. And until next time.
Peace out, guys. Go Celtics, baby.
Green.